What sustainability in coffee business today means? If you don't know like me, come along, we will discover together.
Your podcast with a little bit of Brazilian coffee. Café.
Hello everyone, welcome back to another episode of Coffee. I'm Kelly Stein and today we are going to talk about sustainability in coffee. But before I introduce this very special guest, I would like to say how thankful I am for all your messages. If you want to send us some suggestions, questions, comments about coffee production here in Brazil, please access our website and you can find all the contact information. Our guest today is Pedro Ronca and now he introduces you some projects that he is involved in sustainability here in Brazil. Welcome, Pedro.
Thank you, Kelly. Thank you for inviting me. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
So nice to talk to you. But before we start the real deal, I would like to know more about you. So how did your story with coffee start?
Well, great. I am an agronomist. I always liked farms and my grandfather was a coffee farmer. But unfortunately, I didn't get to know him because he died early. When I was born, the coffee farm was not with coffee anymore. It was sugarcane. Yes.
It's a pity.
Yes. But while I was at university, I am an agronomist. We started to separate the farm between our family and we reached one piece of the farm for my dad and mother. And then we started to grow coffee there. I was very interested.
Where is that?
It's in Guaxupé, south of Minas.
Do you still have this farm?
Yes.
So you're a coffee producer too?
Yes,
nice.
I am. I'm a small coffee grower in Brazil.
How small? Because when Brazilian producers say they are small.
Yes, it's 12 hectares. Hectares of coffee and 100 hectares of land total.
Okay.
And so we started to grow coffee there. It's a very high altitude, 1,100 meters, in a very typical region of Brazil. I'm also a Coxupé member of the cooperative.
I see.
Yeah, so.
But on a daily basis, you're not at the farm, right?
No. Unfortunately, not. Less than I needed and less than I would like, but it's part of the jobs. I travel a lot.
But nowadays you are working with coffee too, right?
Yes.
So tell me about this.
So after university, when I left Esalq, the university in São Paulo, I started to work with coffee, mainly with coffee. And I started with consultancy for farms, for technical assistance, extension services, for medium,
training,
small, large farms on how to increase productivity, how to increase quality.
In your region, in Minas, right?
Yes, in south of Minas and also in the Mogiana region of São Paulo.
Okay.
In both regions. And then I had clients. I visit the farms every month frequently and also my farm that I was running more frequently at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And then after some years, I started also to work with certification. I became an auditor for Rainforest Alliance.
I see.
And I was auditing farms for 6 years for Rainforest.
When was that?
2007 I started.
Okay.
And I audited for 6 years. That was a very interesting experience because I traveled all over Brazil to the most large farms in Brazil like Ipanema, Da Terra, that were the first one to become certified in Brazil, and also medium and also small ones, certification in groups. This was a very good experience to learn more.
About diversity, right?
Yes.
Because people think that Brazil is one thing only.
Exactly. And it's very different depending on the regions, on the size, on the production systems that you have.
Even the infrastructure, right? Because each property has its limitations.
Yes. And also you have family managing, you have entrepreneurship management. So it's very different. And you have all types of success and failures. At the same time, you have growers complaining and growers not complaining.
And nowadays you're working as a consultant?
Yes. I quit the certification 2013 when I became part of the P&A consultant team, and since then I have been working still on consultancy, but more focused on larger projects of strategy, on managing projects and programs, and less on the field with the technical assistants that I still work together with them, but not directly.
Explain to someone who never heard about PA, what is it, what does it do?
P&A is a consultancy company based in Espírito Santo do Pinhal, a small city near 200 kilometers from São Paulo. It's a very known city for coffee in Brazil because of its tradition, with a lot of coffee areas around. We have two separate parts in P&A. We have the traders that deal with the lazy machines, and we have the people that work only with consultancy.
And your job over there is basically in strategy, right?
Yes, and consultancy for projects and programs. And today, the main project that we are running is managing the Global Coffee Platform program in Brazil.
Very good you mentioned that, but before we talk about the Global Platform, let's introduce the concept of sustainability.
Is the idea that we could get the Earth to a place where it could stay roughly the way it is without, I don't even know. It's so hard. Can we get to a place where we could have the number of people we have and we're not creating more than, even then, you're right, this is a hard question.
The question doesn't seem that hard on the surface. Sustainability is a buzzword that we throw around all the time. But understanding what exactly is sustainability, what environmentalists are working toward all the time, is kinda important. Now, if I pull out my old college notebook, this is the definition I ended up writing down at the end of the semester. Sustainability is living within the regenerative capacity of the Earth so the essential needs of present generations can be met without compromising the ability of future generations to meet their essential needs. And that sounds great. Kinda. In order for that to work, we have to define a lot of other things, and suddenly that definition becomes a lot more subjective. What is Earth's regenerative capacity? How do we even measure that? What does future generations mean? Does that include just people, or are we looking to preserve the future generations of all species? Trees, bees, capybaras, red pandas, even sharks? What are our essential needs, and what are the essential needs of future generations? Is that the lifestyle that I live in this New York City apartment? And shouldn't essential needs be the same for everyone, or at least close to the same, because they certainly aren't now?
Especially in the past, maybe nowadays too, some growers are using this word just as a marketing. They recycle some garbage and plant one or two, three, and they say they are sustainable. So explain this misconception of the term.
Yes, that's a good question that I keep hearing everywhere and every time. Well, basically, the answer is not easy because sustainability is a quite complex concept. You can write several books on it. Just trying to explain it, and there is no consensus on what it's really about. So, but I usually try to make it simple for the people who do not understand it very well. And the most simple explanation is exactly based on the triple of economic, social, and environmental issues complying at the same time. So what we try to do is work at these three levels, but mostly focusing on the impacts, because every time that we are producing something on the farm or everywhere, we are producing impacts. So we have to decrease the level of impact to continue producing at the long term. So that's the challenge that we have, how to continue to produce in the long term, and what can we do to make less impact for the future.
Okay, I understood your work, but I want to go to take a step back and learn more about the concept. So, sustainability, you told me, is based in three pillars, right? Which is social, environmental, and...
Economic. And I would put economic at the first, always say first economic, because if the grower doesn't have profit, he will not take care of the environmental and the social work. They have to have profit, they have to have a good economic situation at their business, then to take care of the social and environmental part that are also really important, but first economic, then environmental and social.
How long are you working this project?
Since 2013.
So it's some years, and I'm sure you're facing some challenges on the way. Can you list them?
Yes, one of the biggest challenges that I consider is how to take the best practices to reach sustainability at these three levels that we mentioned, how to reach that, especially between the small growers.
Because I believe people don't take you seriously when you talk about sustainability, because for them, it can be anything.
Yes.
So how do you teach, or how do you show them these three pillars? How do you explain for very simple, non-educated growers?
Yes, that's part of our work. We try to simplify and we try to show that the practices that we are disseminating are very important for the growers, and they are the greater beneficiaries of implementing these practices in the field. And this is really true because the growers, they live for coffee. Coffee is, it's a long-term crop. So you don't plant coffee for 2-3 years. When you plant coffee, it's for then 10, 20 years. So sustainability is really important for coffee because it's long term. So you have to think on decreasing the impacts on your soil, on your water use, on your economic business, on your management of the property, on relationship with your employees or the workers on your farm, on safety, on security, on protection of the forests that are inside your property. And this is why this is good for you, you know, for you grower. It's not good for the consumer. Of course, the consumer wants it and is asking for that. The consumer does not want to have a coffee that comes from a farm that's damaging the environment. But he, at the same time, the coffee farmer
needs to pay the bills.
Yes.
Too. How does it work in a daily basis? You arrive over there, say, hi, I'm Pedro, and this is sustainability.
No, actually, we work on a partnership program, partnering with a lot of institutions, entities, cooperatives, extension services. So the Global Coffee Platform does not go to the ground and reach directly the growers. We do a lot of training for trainers and training for growers, but our approach is to work together
with institutions.
Yes.
So in why this idea of working sustainability became a priority for the Global Platform and for PA?
Well, actually, because the challenge is too large for everyone, every company, even the largest ones or the government realized that to solve the main sustainability issues on coffee production, you need to work together because it's very complicated. As you said, it's small growers, low educated, very disseminated all over Brazil, gigantic country. So it's hard, it's costly, but at the same time, it's something that the growers and everyone will gain for it. So it's a gain-gain proposition. That's why we find out a lot of interest for people to work together on sustainability on coffee, because if the coffee chain improves in sustainability, everybody will gain for it, from the growers to the consumer.
So all this speech and conversation strategies started with the 2020 vision, right?
Yes, actually it started before, when the certification started to increase in the world of coffee, I would say around 10 to 15 years ago, trying to increase the number of growers that comply with the best practices that direct them to sustainability. So they started 15 years ago, let's say, on a process to increase certification. That is a tool to promote it. But after 10 to 15 years, we reached around 20% of the market with certification. It's improved, but we still have 80% of the growers of the coffee that's produced to be complying with the best practices and sustainability. So there was a discussion all around the world to what could be the vision to reach the next steps, or to reach further success on this process, or to accelerate this process. And Vision 2020, it's an alignment made between the coffee players, the stakeholders that organize themselves to discuss what would be the vision for 2020. Now they are discussing 2030, because 2020 is already
it's
there.
Around the corner, yeah.
Yes. So we are looking at 2030, also because sustainability is always long-term. It's
especially
slow
in
change.
The coffee, right?
Exactly. So there were 8 workshops around the world to discuss the priorities, and there was an alignment on the main areas that we should focus to reach this vision. So the most important challenges were selected based on the Sustainable Development Goals of the United Nations.
I see.
The Sustainable Development Goals, for the ones who do not know it, they are today the most important reference for all sustainability work in the world, in all areas, not only in the production area, in industry, services. They are a big reference, and we are trying to link the Vision 2020 for coffee with the SDGs of the UN, the Sustainable Development Goals, to work aligned with these goals, to solve them in the long term.
We have to demonstrate to the small grower that the first beneficiary of sustainability is himself, because he's going to become a better entrepreneur, he's going to produce better and more coffee and make more money.
The traditional producers of high quality washed Arabica coffees, which fill the needs of the specialty market, are under tremendous threat. And they're very specifically threatened by climate change, by labor shortages, by land use pressure.
I'm fairly new to sustainability, and I have to say, I was a little bit puzzled by the various players that act in the sustainability field in coffee. I had trouble to understand who they are, what their objectives are, their mission is, and this is without any disrespect, but I think having one global vision and having all players aligned behind this agenda and mission is clearly more effective and also more efficient.
So global platform gathers financing, and then this money goes to PEA, and then so you guys distribute this money to smaller institutions here in Brazil. Is it correct?
More or less, I would I would try to explain. Actually, the global...
What is the role?
Yes, the Global Coffee Platform is an association of members all over the world, more than 200 members, and we have programs in 8 countries. So every member pays a fee because it's an association, and it pays a fee depending on the size of this member. So larger players pay larger fees. And then this fee that comes together helps to support the programs in each country, in the 8 countries that the program is running. In Brazil, PNA is responsible to conduct the program. We are the secretariat, we are the managers of the program. So what we do, we organize together with the partners in Brazil projects to run, and we have a structure, a governance structure that select and conduct the decisions here. We have 2 forums, a political one that's called the National Advisory Board, and also the working group, the technical working group, the Brazil working group. So these 2 forums, they select, they are the governance of the program in Brazil. The National Advisory Board is composed by the associations, the most important associations like ABIC, the Industry Association, CECAFE, the Exporters Association, CNC, the Growers Association, together with CNA. So it's at the political level to discuss how sustainability can be further incorporated in the coffee business of Brazil and developed and reach small growers. And at the same time, the group, the Brazil Working Group, discusses at the technical level what priorities, what type of projects, how, what type of alignment can we do and propose plans and activities to be conducted together to improve sustainability at Brazil coffee sector.
If you're kind of lost with all these names, CNC, CNA, I will publish the link of those institutions on the website, so check it out. So in a daily basis, how is your routine? You have a curriculum to follow, right?
Yes, we developed together with these 2 groups during a participative process. All that we do is participative. We do together, we do discussing. It's a long and hard process, but it's very productive and very interesting because people participate and contribute and they have different expertises. So it's very positive. And together we build during 2014, the coffee sustainability curriculum. That's a reference, a guideline, let's say.
It's like a checklist for growers.
More or less, we don't want to name it as a checklist because it's not a certification. And usually certification is checklist. So it's content for sustainability, what the growers should do to become sustainable.
It's a guide.
Exactly. It's a guide and it's national and it's aligned between the Brazilian institutions that work more closely to the growers with extension services. They are the ones that are dealing with the growers directly. The public extension extension services, the associations, the cooperatives. So after aligning this content, we started to disseminate it through trainings. So we conduct trainings for trainers, training these technicians that teach the growers.
Okay.
And then we started to train growers on this content.
People to multiply this knowledge.
Exactly.
Okay.
To disseminate it.
Can you list some of the items of this curriculum?
Yes, the curriculum is very big. It's 122 practices.
Oh my goodness!
Wowza!
Yes, because it's very complex. So for exactly for this reason, it was too big and too complex. We together again with the partners, we made a selection of what
the
would
most
be
important.
Exactly, what we call the fundamental items. And we reached 18 fundamental items that we are focusing now. And just to give you some examples.
Yes, I would ask
for
that.
Examples, at the economic side, we have cost of production. Growers usually do not know their cost of production, and it's a very important tool.
They don't make the math.
Yes.
So they usually don't know how they are really making.
Yes. I could say that probably more than 90% of the growers around that, we should not have the number for cost of production.
But this is scary.
Yes.
We're talking about the biggest coffee producer in the world.
Yes, most of them are small growers, low educated, so they do not have controls of their costs. And in Brazil, more than 80% of the growers are less than 20 hectares of coffee. And we call them here in Brazil smallholders. And it's a lot. It's more than, and they represent around 50% of the coffee produced in Brazil. That's also a lot.
Yes.
And this is the public that we are focusing on our program to reach and to help them to improve on sustainability.
So you give a training of business.
There is also a training on business, on showing them the importance and how they can improve if they know their cost of production, because it's a very important tool to improve their control and also to have better sense on when to sell your coffee, because the growers usually want to sell for the best price, of course, but they are always waiting, and sometimes they already have a good price and they don't sell because they don't know their costs. So they expect the higher, and then the market falls down, and then they sell because they're desperate. This is very typical. They usually sell when the market's going down because they were expecting
to get higher and higher.
Exactly.
And another example. This is really interesting. They don't see themselves as businessmen.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, and as many of them are low educated, this is a process, but it's very interesting when you involve the women, because they are more accessible, for example, to deal with numbers, with paper, with organization.
With change, because yes. This is a deep change in their culture, right?
Yes, and also the young generation, the son of the grower, that also usually likes more these concepts, controls, computer use, and also sustainability. For the youngsters, it's better to work with them. It's easier, let's say.
Do you have any specific program for the new generation and for the women in coffee here in Brazil?
Yeah, exactly. These two items are at the central of the whole GCP. GCP is the Global Coffee Platform. We call it GCP. The center of the whole strategy, we have gender issues and young and next generation issues, because this really worries all coffee production areas around the world. And also, we have to figure out ways to improve the access of women and youngsters.
But what you're doing in a practical way, like training?
Yes, this was a goal that came out from the Vision 2020 last year. So we are developing new projects for the coming years. But we have training focused on small growers and also the son of the growers. We have trainings, for example, on computer use to help the growers to improve their controls. But it's what is clear to everyone to understand is when we have the son of the growers, or the son of the daughter, let's say, wanting to stay at the property, is when their parents are making money or having profit. Because if they're not making money, they do not want to stay, of course.
Yes.
They want to work in another place. But in the regions of Brazil, when we have higher productivity, it's very frequent to see the son
or the daughter.
Yes, the son or the daughter, exactly. Going back to after leaving the farm, he sees an opportunity and he goes back to work with the family because they are making money, and this is key. So, and also another very important issue is technology and mechanization, because when we improve technology, when we improve mechanization, the use of machines, of course you make the work at the farm less hard, because and the son and the daughter doesn't want to work in a very hard way as their parents used to do 50 or 100 years ago.
In order to attract this new generation, the coffee production needs to change the mindset.
Yes, and actually in the regions of Brazil, I worked in several regions with small growers, and where the new generation was there working, there were regions where the machines, tractor, harvesting machines, even for mountain, but with a lot of options to make the work easy, to gain efficiency, to make it less hard for the workers, and also to improve productivity, decrease costs.
Do you see in a brief future machinery in small properties?
Actually, we already have a lot of them all over the small areas. We have the small machines to harvest coffee. You can put it in your hands, and it's for mountain areas of coffee. And we have also to cut the weeds of in the middle of the coffee. You have two machines to spray.
It's funny you mentioned that, because everybody believes that's a huge property and those huge machinery collecting coffee. So it's not like that, right?
Yes, we have those at the large farms, but we have also at the small ones at the mountain areas. There is a lot of new machines being developed to help. It's a big market here in Brazil, growing a lot. And also the smallholders that are in the flat areas, they are using the big machines. They buy in groups or they rent the machines from the large farms.
And they are making specialty with that technology, right?
Yes, they can also make specialty coffee, or they can also do commodity coffee. Both, depend on the region, depending on the grower. But when they use...
Depend on their business plan too.
Exactly. But when they use the machines, they increase a lot their
productivity.
Productivity, decrease the costs, and it's very good for them.
Another example, you mentioned one example in the curriculum that focuses on social. You said it's training the new generation, women, and teach this grower to measure costs. Give me another example of environmental pillar. What has done?
Yes, at the environmental side, we have a lot of things important at the farm level, but I could say that soil protection, because soil is key to have high productivity. So soil coverage and also the management of erosion to avoid erosion, and also protecting the water springs, because water is key also to keep the production. And to preserve like the forest around the water springs. All these areas are really important, and we see a very good improvement in several areas of Brazil where growers are taking care more of their soil, but we still have areas where this is not happening in the way that we expect. So we still have a lot of work to do.
Yeah, and Brazil is recycling a lot, right?
Yes, exactly. In the area of the agrochemicals usage that Brazil uses for production, we are world leaders in recycling of agrochemicals packaging, with 94% of all packages that are sold in Brazil are recycled in a system that is very impressive and reach numbers even higher than the most developed countries in the world. We are a reference at this point also. And also in sustainability, I could say that Brazil is also a reference for coffee, because we are the largest supplier of coffee in general terms, but also in sustainable coffee. We supply the largest volumes of coffee for the world in certification coffee.
So Brazil has a high volume of certified farms.
Yes.
You're saying that.
Comparing to the others in volumes, we are the largest supplier of certified coffees in the world. Brazil! And also our growers here, usually it varies a lot, but in several regions we have growers that are not certified but are having profit or are reaching some good living conditions, good houses, good working conditions. There is a lot to do, but we can say that it's already a lot of things.
We are on the correct path, right?
Yes.
We are doing our job and now it's time to improve it.
Exactly.
And about the economic pillar, are you guys organizing any quality contests to pay more for this coffee bag? How does it work?
Sometimes we partner with some coffee contests, but quality in Brazil, in a huge country, it's very diverse because you have Arabica, you have the Conilon, the Robusta, and so you have several different types of coffees, and we do not focus on specialty coffee.
It's coffee in general.
Yes, and coffee. We want to work with the mainstream coffee. We want to, that's the largest part of the coffee. We want to improve the base of all coffee that's produced, and of course the specialty coffee is very interesting. And what we do together with the coffee quality contests, something very interesting, because for example many coffee quality contests in Brazil and also around the world, they only look for the quality criteria. So you may have the best coffee for Brazil for one specific contest that is produced in a not sustainable way, but it's the best.
That's true.
So what we are trying to do together with this coffee contests is to implement criteria for sustainability together with quality. So the best quality needs to also to be the sustainable, because they cannot be damaging the environmental or with social problems, and the best quality, you know?
I see. If the grower follows all the curriculum, great for him, good job, how will he gain more money?
Yes, exactly. The fundamental items, the 18 that we selected together with the coffee chain, they are the ones that will have a direct impact for the growers. For example, productivity. The growers needs to improve productivity to have more profit and to reach better results. So these practices, they already direct some benefits for the grower that they can easily access. For example, to increase productivity is, of course, it's not easy, but it's accessible. You have to manage your soil, fertility, soil analysis.
Water source.
Yes, increase pest and diseases control. So the technology is there. We know what to do, but we have to make growers access it. And sometimes growers do not even take the soil analysis to see what fertilization he should take. So it's a long way, but when these growers, they improve, they gain more money. They reach better results, and if they're making profit, then they take better care of the environment, of the social area. They take care, for example, of the houses that they offer to the workers.
The community, yeah.
Yes, for the community, and also providing security equipments for working at the farm. That's also important. But if one grower is not making money, he will not buy protection equipment.
So if I understood, when this grower follow the curriculum, the profits will be natural consequence.
Yes.
Because productivity get higher.
Less, you decrease the cost of control, you apply to the law also because you're following the law, and it's important also to avoid penalties from the government. And so you improve as also you
the
improve.
Whole system.
Yes, exactly. And you improve as a businessman. You work better, you have more control, better management of your property. And this is the way to operate in a free market that we live, because coffee market prices goes down and go up, and this will always be like this. So when the grower is better organized, better have controls, have their cost of control, and have a good
procedures
soil
to follow,
exactly,
yeah.
They are well prepared to avoid the low prices or to pass through the low prices period, and then when the prices go up they can take advantage of that because they have higher productivity, they have low costs, and they can have more money at
what,
the end.
What are the real results so far?
Well, this is a long-term project. As I said in the beginning, it's not easy to solve all these issues. It's a process. We are now measuring. Our most important goal now is to measure how many growers are implementing the 18 practices, the 18 fundamental items, to see which region is better. So for this reason, we are actually in the middle of a process to create indicators based on these 18 fundamental items, and these indicators will measure how the growers are applying every practices. And these common indicators that everybody will measure the same thing, so we can compare all the groups, all the partners that are working together. So when we compare, we know in what regions we are doing better in one issue, in the other issue, and then we can focus our activities to that specific regions to solve the problems.
To finish, to wrap it up, what are your expectations for the next years?
Well, this is a partnership initiative. We work together. All we do is together with our partner, with the public extension services, as I said, with the companies, with the industry, with the traders. We work together with the associations. So
global alignment can make coffee the first fully sustainable commodity in the world.
This will bring together not only a better allocation of resources, but a much more effective action.
Building national platforms, because we have to create ownership for these programs within the countries where we operate.
The informations, the extension rural, the technical assistance, the technology for the producers to put in practices.
Vision 2020 brings us to that point of realizing the urgency of actions and a call to action that is not so far-fetched, but something that we can actually reach and achieve and celebrate in our lifetime.
It's really about working together to build a solution that no one can solve by itself. So it's really challenging, and we are quite sure that this whole scenario will not change in 1 or 2 years. It takes time. It's a process, because changing practices at farm level, it's really a process, especially when you talk about smallholders. They are very spread all over in small.
Resistant.
Yes.
It's complicated to change the whole
code. Exactly. Very resistant to change, because it's also cultural change. So it's a process, but we are really glad that people are really liking to work together on a common view, aligning these goals, these indicators, the projects, and creating new ideas and solutions together. And I think this is key to solve the sustainability issues, working public, private, and also the NGOs, institutions all together to solve these challenges.
Perfect.
Coffee, 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 co